Everybody out this evening. I know some of our regular members are traveling during the holidays, and then it looks like we've got some other folks that are in visiting for the holidays, and we're always glad to see good old familiar faces from the past as you have opportunity to visit with us. We're thankful you're here. As Mark indicated, we've just begun a study on modern-day idols, and there are several different topics that we talked about last week in the introductory comments that Mark had, and one of those was the modern idol of health or fitness or beauty, and that's the one that we're going to focus in on tonight. So we're going to have to do a little self-examination, I guess, each of these weeks and ask ourselves some hard questions whether or not we have an issue with any of these topics where we've elevated something that perhaps in and of itself there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be attractive and wanting to be healthy and fit. But if you elevate that or any of these other things that we've mentioned to a level that it should not be elevated to and in some sense make it an idol in your lives, then that can be an issue. So what do you think? Does America in general have a problem with putting too much emphasis on beauty, on health, on fitness? If you watch any amount of television, how many commercials do you see that advertise some beauty product or some fitness product, something that's going to, you know, just make you into the next model? It's a billions of dollars are spent each year on health and cosmetic products and surgeries and fitness products and so forth. Matter of fact, I looked up some statistics on a website, Statistica.com, and according to this website, Americans spent, well, what would you guess, on cosmetic and beauty products in the year 2016. The estimate, according to this website, $62.5 billion spent by Americans on cosmetic and beauty products. In addition, another $8 billion was spent this past year on cosmetic surgeries of various types. And add to that an additional $25.8 billion that we Americans spent last year on fitness and health club memberships and products to stay fit and trim. As you can see, I didn't spend much myself on any of those things, and perhaps that's why I was assigned this topic. But nevertheless, as a society, we do place a lot of emphasis on external appearances, on our beauty, on our physique, our physical fitness. And I think, you know, as we mentioned a moment ago, in many of these topics that we're going to talk about, whether it's intelligence or health and fitness, you know, there's nothing wrong in and of itself of pursuing a healthy lifestyle, of being attractive. But it can be elevated to the point where it becomes an idol. It consumes your life, and you place more emphasis on that than you should, to the detriment of things that really are the most important things, should be the most important things in our lives. Beauty, for example, there's nothing wrong in and of itself of wanting to be attractive, of being a beautiful person. I think the Lord gives us the ability to recognize beauty and attractiveness in individuals. Even in the Bible itself, if you think about it, there are several times when individuals in the Bible are talked about, their beauty, their physical attractiveness is mentioned. I'll mention just a few that I found. Abraham's wife, Sarah, was said to be a very attractive woman. You might recall in Genesis chapter 12, when they had left their home and were entering Egypt, Abram, as he was called at that time, was fearful because he knew how attractive his wife Sarah would be, and was afraid to let people know that Sarah was actually his wife. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 11 through 13, we read, "And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarah his wife, 'Indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, "This is his wife," and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you." By the way, do you know how old Sarah was at this time? I think she would have been 65. The Bible mentions that Abram was 75, I believe, at this time, and I believe Sarah was 10 years younger than he was. So even at that age, Sarah would have was considered a very attractive woman. So this is not just an issue for the young. This can be an issue for older individuals as well, idolizing age and youthfulness. And as a matter of fact, sometimes as we age, we can, I think, place an even greater emphasis on these things, and they can become more important to us in our older age, trying to grasp and hold on to our youthfulness. Another example of an individual in Scripture that whose physical beauty is mentioned is Rachel. In Genesis chapter 29, verses 16 and 17, we read, "Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance." And of course, it's just not just the ladies that can be physically beautiful or handsome. We know that in Scripture some men are mentioned as being beautiful or handsome or having a nice physical appearance. I thought of David's older brother Eliab in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. You might recall when God sent Samuel to anoint the next king, he told Samuel to go, and that he would make known to him who was to be anointed. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 6 and 7, we read, "So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Absalom is another individual that comes to mind. As a matter of fact, apparently Absalom was the best-looking fella in the whole country, it seemed like, at the time. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 14 a description of Absalom. "Now in all Israel there was no one who was praised as much as Absalom for his good looks. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. And when he cut the hair of his head at the end of every year, he cut it because it was heavy on him. When he cut it, he weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels, according to the king's standard." So Absalom would have been the guy that would be put on the romance novels today, I guess, if he were alive. He would be just the quintessential good-looking fella. So, you know, the point is that even in Scripture, we recognize that certainly some individuals are given by God or blessed by God with physical beauty, and we all have the ability to recognize that. I recognize I'm not one of those people, and that's fine. But there's nothing wrong with, you know, being a physically attractive person. But again, just like any of these topics, the I think the problem can come when we make this an idol, when we emphasize it so much that we de-emphasize or take the focus off of the more important matters. The Bible makes it clear that our focus really shouldn't be on external appearances, but should be where? Where should our focus be? Yes, on the heart. As a matter of fact, we read already in Scripture the passage in 1 Samuel chapter 16 where God makes that clear to Samuel that God doesn't consider one's external appearance. It doesn't matter to God what we look like on the outside. What matters to God is what's inside of us, what's our heart like. And that's where we need to focus our attention then if we want to be people that are pleasing to God. We need to make sure that our hearts are pleasing to God. We need to focus on inner beauty. A couple of other passages. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Here Peter encourages wives, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Boy, if we could get people in our society to focus on that, and not on your hair, your clothing, what you look like on the outside. If we all could commit ourselves to focusing on an inner, incorruptible beauty, having a gentle, a quiet spirit. A similar passage found in the book of Proverbs in chapter 31. You might recall in chapter 31, there's the description of the virtuous woman. In verse 10, for example, who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? And if you drop down to verse 30 in Proverbs chapter 31, we read, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing or vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. We all know this, right? One's physical appearance is passing. Physical beauty doesn't last, right? Now, occasionally we'll see a movie star or something who doesn't seem to age, right? She looks the same at 80 as she did at 20, and I guess they can do amazing things nowadays. Some of those billions of dollars that we mentioned being spent on cosmetic surgeries and so forth. But really and truly, we all realize that our outward appearance is going to change. We're all going to age. We're all going to get more and more wrinkles as we do so, and fewer and fewer hairs on our head, or at least they're going to turn a different color if we keep them at all. And so why focus on something that's fleeting, that's passing, that's not going to last? What we really need to be focusing on are those eternal qualities that are going to be pleasing to God. As a matter of fact, if you look in 2 Corinthians, if you want to flip over there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and then we'll move on into chapter 5 as well. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Christians in Corinth, and remember what kind of a city Corinth was, by the way. I think it's interesting that, you know, Corinth was a very worldly city, known to be a very worldly city. And so Paul's writing to the Christians there in Corinth who probably were feeling some of those worldly pressures to conform, to place an emphasis on external things. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, the context here is actually Paul is talking about suffering through affliction or persecution. But the principle here is that these things are only temporary. Let's read verses 16 through 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, we do not lose heart, Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So that last sentence there, the things which are seen are temporary, the things that are not seen, those are the eternal things. So as we go through our study this evening, you know, we want to just think about our own lives. How much time, effort, energy, money are we devoting to external things, to physical appearances, our clothing, our jewelry, our makeup, you know, whatever falls into that category? How much time do we spend just primping in front of the mirror each day? I read an article in preparation for this lesson that indicated that a good many of us spend over 30 minutes in front of the mirror. I don't think I'm in that category. You can probably tell that, but you know, maybe some of us spend quite a bit of time each and every day on, you know, just making sure every hair is just in the right place. And is that really the best use of our time, our resources, and our money? If you continue in 2 Corinthians, flip over to chapter 5, the first 10 verses or so in this chapter also talk about, Paul's reminding the Christians that our bodies are like a tent. Let's read together in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. See, and this is the real issue, I think, with any of these modern day idols. They take away the emphasis from what really matters. We spend all of our time and energy and effort and resources on a tent that is not meant to be permanent, that is by its very nature meant to be a temporary dwelling place. I don't know how many of you have tents that you go out into the wilderness in and camp in. I'm assuming some of you do. We're not real big campers ourselves, but I know some of you guys probably are. Those of you that have a tent that you take out into the woods and set up for camp, do you have things like chandeliers and those things? I mean, do you line those with the little fluting and cover that with gold plate or something in those tents? I don't think that's the norm, is it? Why not? Well, you know, that's just, you're just going to be in that tent for a day or two, right? It's not meant to be your permanent home. You're not going to spend, why would you spend a lot of time and energy and effort on on something that you're just going to pop up out there in the wilderness and sleep in for a night or two and then take right back down. And I think Paul is telling us here, when we spend all of our time and energy and effort on our temporary bodies that we're dwelling in just while we're here on earth, to the neglect of our inner person, which is the eternal part that we should be focused on, then we're not going to be pleasing to God. So it's a matter of changing our focus, our vision, and as Paul said, not focusing on the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. You know, how's your prayer life? Not how's your hairdo. How's your time spent in devotion? Not does your clothing have the latest name brand? Is where our emphasis should be. Beauty, fitness is another part of this. And obviously, again, perhaps I was chosen because I don't have a problem being overly fit. It's not an idol for me. As a matter of fact, based on my last wellness screening, I need to be a little more active, says the doctor. And again, there's nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, I think it's a good thing for us to take care of our bodies as the temple of God. That's a biblical principle. But again, we're talking about taking something that in and of itself is perhaps good, but elevating it, that's the issue. Are we elevating physical fitness to a level that it should not be elevated to? Recognizing that no matter how many miles we might jog or how many push-ups we might do or how much bran we might have in our diets, ultimately, we're all destined to leave this earth. Our bodies are going to eventually give out on us. And so that's why I think in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul tells Timothy, bodily exercise profits a little. Now notice he doesn't say there isn't any value in bodily exercise. Even here, Paul says there is some profit in that, but it really only provides a little return for the investment in comparison to what we really should be again focused on, and that's godliness, according to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Let me read the verse completely here. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So there's where our focus needs to be, the life that is to come. Not clinging to this life, not trying to maintain our youthfulness forever and ever, acting as if we're always going to be here on this earth. We should have, I think, the attitude that Paul demonstrates in Philippians chapter 1, where in verses 19 through 23, he talks about the fact that he's kind of torn between wanting to stay here on earth to be of benefit to his fellow Christians and wanting to go on to the next life where he knows he will be with his Savior. And in Philippians chapter 1, he says, For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In our society, it seems like we've got that backwards. Death is, for many people, just the end, right? It's all over at one's death is the attitude that a lot of unbelievers have. And really, for us, death is just that next step into that life eternal, something that we can actually look forward to. So as we kind of close here, we've got just a few minutes left. I wanted to ask you guys, what are some of the issues that arise when we as a society idolize beauty and fitness, elevate that to a point where it's idolized, where it's emphasized more than it should be? kind of problems do we have in our society because of this?
Maybe we're getting the heroes out of the wrong people.
Okay, our heroes are the wrong people. They would be the athletes or the movie stars, the beautiful people in a physical sense, and not necessarily those that have the godly characteristics that we should seek out in our those that we look up to. Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that. Several of the things that I read talked about how many of our, particularly our young girls, have a really big issue with self-esteem issue or self-image issue, because in our society we have these physically attractive people that are put out there as, you know, you've got to be this Barbie-looking individual. And a lot of our young girls end up having self-image issues because they just don't feel like they can live up to that. I found one study, I think this was back in 2004, where they surveyed women and asked them, you know, do you think you're beautiful? What percentage of women do you think felt that they were beautiful? 2%. 2%. As a matter of fact, over half of the women responded and said that their bodies disgusted them in the study. And I think that's because of putting too much emphasis on physical appearance. And I think there have been real efforts lately to combat some of that in our society. But it is a terrible issue. I think also a lot of individuals that are beautiful or consider themselves beautiful often have a pride issue. They become proud and haughty because of that. And often it seems like dressing immodestly or immodesty can be kind of an issue for them as well. So, but the biggest thing is that we spend all of our time focusing on the wrong thing, and we let our inner person suffer because of that. You know, recently I was at the grocery store and picked up a couple of frozen pizzas, and I got two different kinds. One came in a pretty much a plain brown box. I don't remember what the name of it was, but it was distinct in that it wasn't flashy or anything like that, whereas the other one was a well-known brand and had a nice red box with a beautiful picture of a pizza painted on the box and so forth. And this past week, I had an occasion to eat both of those pizzas. Guess which one was actually tastier? The one in the plain brown box. As a matter of fact, my wife said, get another one of those the next time, but don't get the one in the fancy red box. It wasn't nearly as good. And that's kind of a silly illustration, I know, but you know what really matters is the pizza in the box and not the box itself. And that's the message, I think, for us tonight as well. What really matters to God is our hearts, our inner beauty. He's looking for us to work on that, to focus on that, to emphasize that in our lives, to become gentle spirits, to have a quiet gentleness about us, to be loving and caring and considerate and kind, and to draw close to Him. And we have a hard time doing that when we spend all of our energy on the box instead of on the pizza. So I guess I would encourage us tonight to all just do some self-examination, to think about your own lives and to think about whether or not maybe there are places where you're placing too much emphasis on the temporary and not placing the emphasis on the eternal, the inner man. Any other thoughts or comments? We've got just a minute or two before we need to wrap up tonight. I'm sorry I kind of monopolized things. Yes, Mr. Roger. Even Samuel, yeah, that's right. That's right, that's right. Good comment. Anybody else? I appreciate your kind attention tonight as we think about some of these modern day idols, pitfalls that are to be avoided in our lives. Hopefully you've benefited by thinking about some of these things tonight. There may be someone here tonight that is in need of prayer, has something on your heart that you'd like to share with your brothers and sisters. There may be someone here tonight that isn't a Christian but has been studying, and you know what you need to do to take that step to become a child of God. At the end of each of our services, we always want to offer an opportunity for anyone who has a need to respond, and we'd be glad to do anything we can to help you. So if you do have a need tonight, please feel free to come forward as we stand and sing together.